Welcome to Unpushing the Territory Season 2, Clubhouse Games. The Gator Golf set's been put away, and now we're into games and sporting competition this week to determine who should be the rightful being the elite champion. This week, it's a number one contenders match. Who can hang on the pole the longest? So how are you this week, Dan?
I'm in uncharted territory this week, mate. It is the first time I have genuinely been excited for an honour pole match.
you need to get into my world. I love honour pole matches. And the reason I love honour pole match is that a lot of wrestling matches just happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, years ago they'd advertise them in advance and then they wanted them to be surprises. But now even, like, while you're going through an episode of Raw or Dynamite, a match will get signed straight away.
Mm.
You know, oh, this match is happening now. It's like, didn't you have a running order to the show or a plan? Or, you know, you just turned up to the arena and something would happen. But at least an on a pole match has stakes to it. There's a reason for it to happen and they're trying to get something. And it might be ridiculous, but at least there's a justification to have the match. Other than wrestling for the joy of wrestling.
I'm now thinking of steaks on a pole.
Well, we've seen a turkey on a pole with Jake the Milkman Millman in against Colonel Peters.
We have. That was bizarre as well. But I do take your point. They were just... I'll put it this way. I don't think, apart from the turkey and Judy Bagwell on a forklift, I don't think I've ever seen a good one.
So it depends, because a lot of people say, oh, you know, the honour pole matches and think of, you know, the Carson City Silver Dollars or the leg of an action figure and all that sort of stuff. But realistically, all the coal miners' gloves matches were on a pole match. Any flag match is essentially on a pole match. You know, so...
Yeah, I've not seen any of the coal miners' gloves and I've never liked any of the flag matches. Wow. I think it's just one of those that has to be written off as not for me.
Well, fair enough, Dan.
I'll tell you what is for me. Five guys are hanging on a pole to see who has the right to challenge John Silver for being the elite championship.
Yeah, at least you brought it back round. But I was going to say something that's not for me, Dan, because I just wanted to discuss this with you this week. You know, I've been going through various hot sauces. Since Tartar's Beer stopped doing their amazing hot sauces, they did the tier hot sauce and they did the...
That's why you've been buying so much hot sauce.
Yes, just Beth, I'm doing.
Please keep that in. I'll calm down in a minute.
So there'd been the tier hot sauce, and there'd been the high quavo chipotle sauce, which were amazing, but they came to an end. You can still go to Tartar's Beers for beer at tartarsbeers.co.uk and put in the promo code UTTPodcast15 and get 15% off, but the hot sauces are no longer there. This week, and it was like in the bargain bin at Sainsbury's, I think it was £1, and I only found out when I was opening it today, I've got an Ed Sheeran hot sauce.
What?
It's not even advertised as Ed Sheeran. It's in the tiny writing on the back of the bottle that it's Ed Sheeran.
Okay. That fills me with a bit more hope, to be honest, because if he's not outwardly promoting that it's him or affiliated with him, it might actually be good if it's a passion project.
Well, it's hot and tangy. It is tangy. It's not that hot. I don't think it deserved to... You know, if you put it with the brown sauce...
Right.
Yeah. It says it's 3 out of 4... You know, on the hotness scale or whatever. I don't know what hotness scale Ed Sheeran's work used to.
You do have a good spice tolerance, though. I'll give you that. So, might be hot for some people.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran thought it was hot. But, yeah, I don't.
He doesn't strike me as a particularly spicy character.
No, well, clearly not, judging by his hot sauce. And maybe that's why he brewed up a Duff batch and sold it to Sainsbury's on cheap and they're flogging it for £1.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran's going mild.
Yeah, exactly. it's gone mild, so there you go.
Well, join us next week on Hot Sauce Reviews.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to head over to the 19th hole before we get to this match. So are you drinking, Dan?
I am indeed, and guess what I'm drinking? Porter's Porter again.
Timothy Taylor's.
So yeah, I'm on the Taylor's.
Bring water.
Yeah, and it's just as good as it has been the last few weeks. So, yeah. What are you on this week? Have you got another duration beer?
Indeed I have. It is Sweeping Coast from Duration Brewery. It's actually one that you've had before.
Oh, okay. Looking
untapped. Yeah, so you had this.
Must have been in a beer 52.
You had this on the 30th of April, 2021.
Okay.
And you gave it a 3 out of 5, which is probably about twice as much as I'm giving it.
I am generally more generous than you. And if I was drinking it on a beer 52, in beer 52, there is a good chance I was drinking it on UTT proper, and there's a more than good chance that I was already drunk by the time I rated it.
Quite possibly. Although Ben, at Brit Rest Away Days, gave it 3.75 out of 5 on Untapped.
So he really liked it.
Yeah, it's a 4.8% pale ale, American pale ale. And the guy says, if you're fond of sand dunes and the salty air, consider Norfolk. I mean, I was wanting a beer, not a Turner Seascape.
I've got that song in my head. I don't know the name of it, but it starts off with those lyrics.
I was wanting a beer, not a Turner Seascape.
yes, that exactly that. Yes.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah, get me on Rantermeisters. So, as we say, it's a number one contender match. Sammy Guevara, Fuego del Sol, Luchasaurus, the captain Sean Dean, previous number one contender in his own right, and Ryan Nemeth. And they're going to see who can hang on the pole for the longest.
Yeah, bringing some physical, purely physical competition in. Although there will be an aspect of mental fortitude as well, I would have thought.
Well, Luchasaurus said that during the Spicy Challenge, that it was more of a mental game than a physical game.
It's going to be very interesting because, like I say, you'd think it's primarily physical, but I can see, you know, sort of a will to win and the sort of grit and determination coming into play. So it really is a coin flip, which I wouldn't be surprised seeing, you know, I wouldn't be surprised seeing that as one of the games to play at some point.
As I've mentioned before, I've been going through the Screen Sports Satellite Wrestling from 1985-1986, and they decided the result of a match in a tournament on a coin flip. But
God.
Every episode, they go through letters from the fans, people write in, and right. And I thought this was kayfabe, because a lot of it was self-serving. And the last episode, every letter was saying, it's ridiculous that you've... you know, got the result of this match on a coin flip. So they were clearly shoot letters that they were reading.
They just had a lot of goodwill built up.
Yeah. So it had been goodwill up to that point, but flipped a coin and people in Stoke were not happy.
They gambled and lost.
Yeah, quite literally. So you predicted, as your initial predictions, giving you a week to think about it, but Fuego del Sol and Captain Sean Dean were your initial picks to go deep in this. We did give the possibility last time that maybe we would let you select who's going to come first and who's going to come last.
Yeah, I'm not giving too much thought to who comes first and last, as it were. So I don't know. I think my gut instinct, I was veering more towards Fuego del Sol as my winner. But for the last two of these, the one I've picked as the winner has been the first one eliminated. So I'm going with Fuego del Sol to be eliminated first.
All right, okay.
If you can follow that thought process.
Well, it makes sense from your previous predictions. I mean, we did discuss last week that Fuego del Sol's a lot lighter than everyone. So while he doesn't have the same upper body strength, he doesn't have as much to hold up.
I am factoring in the possibility of shenanigans.
Interesting.
Yeah. And as for the winner, my heart's ruling my head. I'm giving the captain one last chance to redeem himself.
Well, it's come good for you before. As we've said before, We have seen people with experience do well in other games. Failed you on the flip the cup challenge, although to be fair, we didn't know there was booze in the cups before we made those predictions.
Yeah, there's an asterisk above a few of these, isn't there?
Well, I mean, if they're drinking before they get on these polls, do you think that would change anything?
Well, a few people might start dancing.
Well, quite possibly. Quite possibly. So we're going to find out. We're going to head over to Be in the Elite, episode 240, 14 minutes and 57 seconds in.
Yeah, I'm there and I'm ready on your mark.
So 3, 2, 1, play. John Silver's back.
Oh,
absolutely
resplendent.
He can't remember what he's doing. He's the champion, he thinks.
He looks knackered, bless him.
I mean, what time is this? A few episodes ago, he was saying it was 4:30 a.m.
If they're following on, who knows? It could be like 6 in the morning.
Oh, they're doing it one at a time. Sammy Guevara's first. Oh, it's a time-lapse video.
Well, I think it's necessary, really, because...
Yeah. Well, to be fair, they do spend a lot of time in the gym, so...
They do.
Yeah, well, it stops... Fergadol Sol stops it a bit late.
Yeah, what was that, 2 minutes and 2, I think they said? Fuego going.
Fuego's on there.
Looks solid.
No, I'm in the background.
Did a pull-up.
Yeah. Oh, about 1:34 then.
Okay, so Fuego's not winning.
Luchasaurus' legs are very long, so he's had to sort of tuck them in.
Yeah.
Andy says he's too old for it.
He's 65 million years old.
We will give him that. He's past the 45-second mark. He is not happy. Yeah, 50 seconds, that's what he was going for. I think he just wanted to compete.
Yeah.
Just being in it. So, yeah, happy to be there.
It's quite right, it's anti-dinosaur.
Pretty confident about how Sean Dean was confident, doesn't he?
He does. Come on.
The captain's up.
Oh, captain, my captain.
Yeah.
He looks zen.
Yeah, he's shaking his head. He's not giving up. He's past the 50-second mark, past the minute mark. Oh, he's done a pop. 17.
Just readjusting his grip.
Oh, he fell off at 1:22. Oh. I think he was trying to be too smart. I think he was trying to do pull-ups. Mm. Ryan Nemeth's up there. He's in street clothes. I don't know if this will hinder him.
Well, it's going to weigh more. The street clothes are going to weigh more. He's adding unnecessary weight to the challenge. So I think he's done himself. Didn't last as long as the captain.
No, no. So he is out. So, Sammy Guevara versus Silver in the final episode of this series in Kicking Field Goals. So we've got something that's potentially sporting competition to something that's definitely sporting competition.
Yeah, it really is. I think it's a funny thing because Sammy's taller. He's got longer legs. He's going to be able to get some good leverage there. But I think John is stronger in the legs. So it's and then again, a lot of it boils down to technique as well.
It does indeed. I mean, do we think any of these competitors, John Silver or Sammy Guevara, have had any experience with American football? Have we heard JR mention that at any point? Because I'm sure he would have done if...
I haven't heard it, but then I tend to tune a lot of that out nowadays.
It's fair enough. Before you make your initial prediction, and we won't hold you to this, but the series could not have worked out better. You are 5-5.
Oh shit, yeah. Nobody's going to believe we didn't do that on purpose.
No. So, for the entire series, for your predictions, bearing in mind how badly you did in season one, the chance to win a season, your initial prediction, John Silver or Sammy Guevara?
Who do you think? Who do you think I'm going with? Who has seen me right this whole season?
He has. He has. But there is such a thing as gambler's ruin. So, you know,
I will not abandon John Silver for, of all people, Sammy Twatting Guevara.
Yeah, so there you go. Big decision.
It's not a big decision. It's a no-brainer. That's not a prediction. It's a spoiler.
It's a spoiler.
I'm going to eat those words, aren't I? I've got too cocky. It's going to absolutely fuck me.
And just because of how the episodes fell and how many we did in, you know, season one and looking out to the future, that we've built to a final here. But in some ways, it doesn't perhaps feel as big as episode 3 when we had Trent versus John Silver, or episode 9 when we had John Silver versus Alex Reynolds, which did feel like, I don't know, the big money matches.
Yeah. But do you know what it is like? It's like Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, the best episode of any given series, wasn't the final episode. It was the penultimate episode. That was the penultimate episodes were always the big battle, the big action scene, a huge payoff. And then the finale, the season finale, was the cliffhanger and the setup for the following season. That's the way I see this now. We either get the continuation of the reign of Johnny Hungy, or we're going to be looking forward to the downfall of Sammy Guevara.
Well, this is it. And this is sporting competition. All of this is legit competition.
Yep.
But that encapsulates the emotion of wrestling. You've got the face, blue eye of John Silver, who you're just behind. You want to see him win because he's a good guy. He's a man of the people. And you've got the chicken shit heel in Sammy Guevara, you know.
Well, let's not forget, just in the spin kick episode, he was there trying to throw shade at John Silver. He was trying to say it was rigged. How dare?
Well, in all fairness, I mean, did he hold that bottle at an angle?
It wasn't John Silver's fault, even if he did.
Oh, well, it was Marco Stunt that he was holding it for, though.
But John Silver wasn't holding it.
No, Sammy Guevara was holding it for Marco Stunt.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
So why was Sammy Guevara whinging that the bottle wasn't right when he was the one in control of it?
He was holding the bottle. He believed that the bottle top was screwed on more firmly, and that's why it hadn't gone off. And then he proved it was only like a half turn away from plopping off.
Nah, it's full of shit, Guevara.
He is, but yeah. So if this had been Bucks kayfabe, and this is just a suggestion I'm throwing out there, but would it have been better to have had Ricky Starks in the Sammy Guevara position for this final episode?
Absolutely. Noted cheater in the one chip challenge, pretending to not know the rules, for the cup flipping with the, and you know, and taking a drink early just to gain an advantage. He would have been the heel of this whole series.
He would. But this is what you get with real sport.
Yeah.
You don't get those stories playing out. You know, there's a curveball and you're off and away.
Yeah, referenced him a few times this season, but Luke Littler didn't get his fairy tale ending in the darts. He did phenomenally well and has made himself, you know, an instant star and a major player. But, you know, if that had been written and predetermined, he'd have won the damn thing.
Yeah. And that's what you get from real sporting competition.
Exactly. That and kebabs.
And a kebab. Exactly. Well, I hope they're giving these guys kebabs, because it must be about 7 a.m. at this point, at this place, when they're going through all these games. But, you know, just on another note, we've recorded a lot of these in advance of releasing them. We're doing the entire series before we've released the first one. So we're not getting any feedback on how we're doing. But for anyone that stuck with us through this entire second series, we are really grateful. Anyone that's shared the podcast, anyone that's commented, it really does mean a lot to us. So, yes, we're not giving you the regular shout-outs as we did in season one, where we were recording them with less of a gap in between. But, you know, we really do appreciate it.
Yeah, we do. Real life's taken hold, and we hope you've stuck with us. There's far too many people to mention it who've supported us from sort of day one of season one of UTT, and just thank you so much. Me and Rob are probably doing this anyway because it's a good laugh. But as I've said many times this season, it means so much more when you know that people are along for the ride with you. So thank you so, so much.
So on that note, Dan, where can people find you?
You can find me badly timing a swig of beer. And then having to do an outro. I
plan it every week.
You what?
I plan it every week.
But I'm over on that there Twitter machine at DanGriffin21. They're usually twaddling on about a load of old tripe. If you want to hear more of me talking about stuff, I'm over on SGP World Media, where I do the Doctor Who pod with Cy Powell, looking at one episode or serial per Doctor per series, old and new. And I'm also on the volley with the magnificent Matt Lewis and Connor from Connor Knows Footy, who are my strike partners in that venture, where we provide alternative commentary for Premier League games and beyond. We've checked into the MLS for the MLS Cup final last season. We're going to be going there in the future. Who knows where else we'll end up. Come along, enjoy some football-adjacent chat and a pie at half-time, as I have turned talking about athletic endeavour into fat bastardry.
Can we get a sneak peek on any pies that may be upcoming?
No, because I haven't thought that far ahead. I don't even know, at the time of recording, I don't even know what our next game's going to be, so...
Well, you know, you might not be able to cope with it, but Tank Abbott is the only person in history who's ever been able to eat a McDonald's apple pie straight out of the oven and complain that it wasn't warm enough.
Yeah, which is weird because it was actually hotter than the surface of the sun. Actually, on that, little rant, last time I went to McDonald's, ordered some food. I ordered the sort of limited edition Galaxy chocolate pie. Made the rookie mistake of not checking my bag. The bastards didn't give me one.
Now, to be fair, that looks incredibly sickly. I mean, you know, obviously...
Yes, but I was hungover. I wanted it.
I don't know. You know, I mean, obviously, I'm a portly gentleman with a lot, but even I looked at that and went, you know, it's a bridge too far.
Then my next bridge might have been a bridge too far. If I'd have eaten it, I might have finally collapsed one.
Well, you might have done. You might have done. You'd have needed medical science in that scenario, and medical science donated its body to Tank Abbott.
That was a brilliant setup. You're such a pro.
Yeah. So you might have guessed that I'm giving you some hashtag tank facts from the Unbooking the Tankatory Twitter, when we follow the ups and downs of the in-ring career of legitimately the hardest man that ever lived, one David Tank Abbott. And if you head over there, you'll get some more hashtag tank facts that can be used in real-life scenarios, as we've just demonstrated.
That was wonderful. That's the first time you've done it like that, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, opportunity knocked, but it will always follow.
Don't expect it every week.
No. Lightning doesn't strike twice.
Unless it's trying to get Tank Abbott.
Although Tank Abbott would block it and punch it back.
Yes.
So you can find me at UTC Rubbish for the more at the mutuals and about the follow. So I'm absolutely more than happy to follow back. On the same channel that you're listening to this, you can hear the One Man's Meat podcast with Danny at Scottish Juggalo and the real Chris Bellis. And they're going through the forgotten storylines of wrestling, wrestlers, and manic, get that much love, that kind of thing. They also had a side project where they went through every episode of Wrestle Society X and Wrestle Society Extra. It was really well researched, really good fun. Should get involved.
Yeah, and they extend that same love and attention to Disgusting Awful, their horror movie project, where they are so well researched that they give information that isn't even contained in Netflix documentaries. That is legit. I'm not just saying that for effect. So get over there, give the guys some love.
No, it is really good stuff. You need to check it out. Other things that you need to check out is our main show. If you go back in the archives, on Booking the Territory, we were going through the first and last of wrestling, so debuts, finales, that kind of thing. And in terms of other side projects that we've had, we are on the way to Wembley 1981 for one of the most watched wrestling matches of all time, when Big Daddy faced Giant Haystacks and 18 million people watched.
Which is just a ridiculous number, to be quite frank, but I'm having an absolute whale of a time educating myself, getting to know some of these wrestlers firsthand, you know what I mean? Yeah, loving being along for the ride.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic.
Really is.
Yeah, so next time is the final episode of the season. John Silver versus Sammy Guevara kicking field goals.
Come on, John. Finish it. Finish the story. End the season as champion.
You're begging, please let me win predictions.
Yeah. No, not even that. Just beat Sammy. That's all I ask.
Anyone but Sammy.
Yes. Not Jeff Jarrett, though.
Super.
Actually, yeah, maybe even Jeff Jarrett.
Maybe even Jeff Jarrett. Thank you for listening.
Let's play Gator Golf.
You got your Gator Golf drums and your Gator Golf balls. Sink your butt in the Gator Golf jaws. The Gator Golf tail puts you back for more. While your Gator Golf burns, keep your Gator Golf score. Let's play.
Goliath.